My talk today will be on the influence of weather conditions on hard luck severity in Florida. As you already heard, with a healthy cotton boll, you have fluffy fiber, and in hard luck, it remains in compressed wedges at the time of boll opening, and a spindle picker will be unable to bring those into the harvester. Hard luck is a major yield-limiting factor in Florida cotton production, and losses of 20 to 60% are typical depending on the year. The disease is associated with flower infection by Fusarium verticilloides, and it's also influenced by several factors, including nitrogen fertilizer rates, the presence of stink bugs feeding on developing bolls, and the number of flower thrips in the flowers at the time of bloom. We believe what's happening is that the fusarium is coming into contact with the stigma and then germinating down the style, at which point it infects the ovules, which is essentially the same pathway that the pollen would normally be taking. So the objectives in this talk are to show the influence of hard luck on yearly cotton yields, to determine weather factors that are associated with daily hard luck rates, and to determine the influence of temperature on the yearly hard luck rate. To begin with, we compiled unsprayed control and fungicide treated data from multiple studies. These were in Mariana from 2003 and from Quincy starting in 2002. The variety used was Delta Pine 555, and in Quincy we were using strip tillage, while in Mariana we used conventional tillage. And we compared the hard luck and yield data for those plots. When we compare the percent hard luck to lint yield, we get a very strong relationship with an R-squared of 0.83. Looking across these years, we have a fairly large distribution in the severity of hard luck, from a low of about 20% up to about 70%. And you can see that most of these data points are fairly evenly distributed along the line. And again, this was from the unsprayed control plots. When we look at the data from the fungicide-treated plots, we get a very similar situation. The R-squared is slightly lower. But what you notice is that more of the data points have been shifted towards the low hard lock, high yield end of the range. It's also worth noting that for every 1% increase in hard lock severity, we have a 26 kilogram decrease in yield. So what we wanted to do was to explain, you know, why between these different years, why we're seeing so much variation taking place. So what we did was we tagged flowers with ribbons to indicate the day of bloom, and then we evaluated the hard lock in the resulting bolls at the end of the season. And by doing so, we were able to actually generate an independent hard lock value for each day that we tagged bolls. We did this at four locations in Northwest Florida, and we monitored those weather conditions. Then we examined the hourly correlations of those weather conditions to hard lock, and we did this to identify the specific variables and the time periods of interest. What we found was that temperatures from midnight to 6 a.m. were significantly correlated to hard lock severity for that same day. However, relative humidity was not significant, which was somewhat surprising because hard lock tends to occur more often in the humid areas of the cotton belt. When we actually graphed the mean temperature from midnight to 6 a.m., just because that would give a slightly better value than using any particular temperature from that range, we get a fairly interesting pattern. Most of our data points fall between 21 and 25 degrees centigrade. In this graph, approximately 85% of them do. And when we examine yearly data from several different locations, usually 85% of that data also falls within that range. If we limit the regression to simply that range, we get an R-squared of 0.49. And what we realize is that for every 1 degree increase in night temperature, we get a 20% decrease in percent hard lock on that day. It's also interesting to note that if you go below 21 degrees, the cooler it becomes, the less hard lock you get, although we have very few data points, so it's hard to draw any strong conclusions at that point. That also could be the limiting factor for why hard lock is not more common when you go inland. It could be that you have cooler night temperatures, to where you don't really reach that peak level of hard lock. To change gears a little bit here, in this picture, what we have is on the left, we have a first day cotton flower. This would have been probably on the morning that it opened up. And what you can see is that the base of the style right here is open, and that allows the pollen to germinate in. And we believe that it would also allow any pathogens to possibly come in. Whereas when you look at the second day flower, after pollination, the base of the style has completely walled itself off. and this should prevent any further pollen and possibly any pathogens from coming in. And so then at that point, it raises the question of how does temperature influence hardlock? According to the literature, cool night temperatures can delay anthesis. And we know that the style is open to allow growth of the pollen germ tube until pollination occurs, after which it's closed, preventing entry. And so what we're thinking is that from the time that your flower opens up first thing in the morning until the time that pollination and that closing of the base of the style occurs is your window of opportunity for Fusarium to infect the flower. So if cool temperatures delay pollination because they're delaying anthesis, which is the release of the pollen from the anthers, that could increase your window of opportunity for infection by the Fusarium to occur. So knowing that temperature influenced hardlock on a daily basis, we wanted to know if we could explain some of that yearly variation. So we utilized the hardlock data discussed in the first section, where we looked at the hardlock and yield comparisons. We calculated the predicted hardlock severity for each day of the estimated bloom period, and we assumed that was July 1st to September 1st. It probably would have varied a little bit from one year to the next, but we didn't have an actual starting date available to us. And in this study, we used the unsprayed control data from Quincy, and we also used insecticide-treated data from Mariana, and a little bit later I'll explain why we did that. What we find is that temperature on a yearly basis is also correlated to hardlock severity. We get an R-squared of 0.53, and it's also highly significant. For every 1 degree increase in the yearly low temperature, or yearly temperature, we were getting a 13 percentage point decline in hardlock. On this graph, when you look at the data points, okay, for Quincy, most of the data points are over here towards the left. It's the open squares, whereas our Mariana data is the black diamonds. Okay, you can see that within each of these data sets, the line seems to explain all those data points reasonably well. What we found was that in Mariana, although we had these higher temperatures causing it to be over on this side, when we looked at the control data, it was actually about equivalent to what we were seeing in Quincy. It's just that we were having higher temperatures. But when you looked at the individual year's worth of data, the arrangement was the same, and the overall slope was the same. The difference between Mariana and Quincy is the tillage practices. In Mariana, they used conventional tillage, and we believe that may have influenced the hardlock rate, and so that was why we decided to substitute the insecticide data in this analysis, I mean, such that we could see the effect over the range of temperatures. Just to provide some perspective on all this, okay, our mean low temperatures from July and August for Quincy, Florida, from 1968 to the present are shown here on this graph. During the last 6 years in which we've been doing hardlock research, those years are shown here. This black line, this line pretty much indicates the difference between high hardlock and low hardlock years. What we found was that in our cooler years, that was when we had more of the hardlock. So that would have been years 2002, 4, and 6, whereas in 2003, 5, and 7, we had less hardlock. And it's also interesting to note that it was during these high hardlock years when we really saw significant differences between our fungicide treatments and our different control strategies compared to the control, whereas in the years with low hardlock, we didn't see as much of a result. So going back to, as we said earlier, the question arises, could tillage practices influence the hardlock severity? We know that increased early season surface residue may be capable of sustaining competitors and antagonists of Fusarium. The literature also indicates that bull rotting pathogen spores, which include Fusarium, increase beginning at the time of bloom, and it was possibly due to growth on shed flowers. This has been known for some time since 1978, and this work was actually dealing with the bull rotting, a lot of the bull rotting fungi. In the case of Fusarium graminearum in wheat fields, it was found that local inoculation production is more important than long-distance transport. And although it's somewhat difficult to extrapolate, I mean, from a slightly different type of Fusarium and a different cropping system, it suggests that the inoculum that's produced within your cotton field may be more important than what could be coming in from outside. So as we saw here, hardlock is a major factor that influences yields in Florida. What we see is that a 10 percentage point reduction in hardlock offers 284 kilograms per hectare increase in lint yields. And that 10 percentage point, that's usually fairly close to what we would get in when we see hardlock reduced. It might be anywhere from 10 to 20% reduction in disease. And so it appears that it seems to be worthwhile. The other thing is that by developing a forecast model, this should improve spray decisions that farmers can make. The reason is that it allows you to apply sprays when the conditions are most favorable for disease development. And so hopefully, by doing so, you can avoid those years where you would have, normally 60% hardlock severity. And the other thing, too, is that it also allows us to figure out, at what times spraying will not be effective. And that reduces the overall cost of, a hardlock management program, just by avoiding it on years when it's not really necessary. Okay, I'd like to thank those who made this research possible, including Cotton Incorporated, United Phosphorus, USDA, and the state of Florida. And with that, I'll take any questions you may have.